Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
11 o'clock hour here on Cody and Gold. Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. We'll get to the trash of the day here in about 18 minutes or so. You heard it there, the draft party coming up a week from this Thursday. That's Thursday, April 24th at the Landing up in Liberty. We know it's going to be a packed house. We've had a ton of fun doing this. Bink and Chris Unocero are going to be broadcasting live the Character Concerns crew throughout the first round. We'll be hopping on the show with them throughout the evening as well. Plus your chance at $965 and an autographed Chiefs helmet if you think you can figure out this draft and how confusing it might be now with all these rumors around pick 3, around pick 9. But 1 point for a player drafted in first round, 3 points if you get the right player on the right team. You'll have to turn the sheet in that we'll have up there, of course, before the Tennessee Titans are officially on the clock. To talk more about the draft, maybe you'll get some insight to win this contest a little bit. Matt Verderam from Sports Illustrated, kind enough to join us. He's a staff writer at SI Now, the Matt Verderam Show on Patreon as well. Matt, always good to have you on, man. It's been a little while. We are 9 days out from this draft. When you look at the way this draft is being discussed, I'm just talking in general, not even with the Chiefs, compared to a year ago or 2 years ago, do you sense that this is more of a, you know, starter-filled draft? Is it a weaker draft? Is it a draft full of stars? How would you summarize it?
I think it's a meat and potatoes draft. I think if you're in the top 10, you're probably not thrilled that you're in the top 10 because it's not a class that is led by a bunch of great talents. You know, last year you looked at the way the draft went, and the first 12 picks were all tackles, quarterbacks, and receivers. There's not going to be 12 of those positions taken in the first round combined this year. So I think it's a different draft, but it's a deep draft. It's a draft that if you're picking a lot on day two, you're probably pretty happy about that back half for, you know, the first round. You know, let's say picks like 20 through 80. I think that's probably the sweet spot talking to teams around the league. There are a lot of D tackles, a lot of running backs, a lot of tight ends. There's some depth at corner. There are some pretty good day two receivers. I think that's more the sweet spot rather than some years where those first 15 to 20 guys are really, really good, but then after that, it's kind of a crapshoot. I think it's almost the inverse in an odd way this year.
Well, that favors obviously the Chiefs significantly based on where their picks are currently as it sits. We were just asking, and then I want to ask you about some of the other teams, but we were just asking the question, do you think it's more likely the Chiefs trade up in the first round or back?
I think just as a whole, most of these teams this year would like to trade back. But I think for Kansas City, I think the Chiefs actually, if they wanted to trade up, it's going to be easy. I mean, they're going to have a million dance partners. And I do think if you're the Chiefs, they might be one of the few teams that might trade up because they don't need 8 players out of this draft. I mean, look, not to say that if you found, you know, the 2022 class part two, you wouldn't do it. Of course you would. But if you're the Chiefs, if you walk out of this class with a rotational back, a starting defensive tackle, and one other meaningful player on the roster, either offensively or defensively, you're pretty happy. Like, I think you feel like, okay, that's pretty successful. You know, I think if you're the Chiefs, you know, if a Walter Nolan is there at 22, 23, 24, you know, Minnesota's an interesting team at 24 because they only have four picks. They're the fewest picks maybe in the draft. So they're going to be open for business. If you're the Chiefs, would you move up, you know, seven spots and maybe give up one of your third rounders or something like that? I think for the Chiefs, there's a lot of reasons to move up and try to get the best guy in your pool, so to speak, rather than just try to accumulate 10 picks. I don't know that they need all.
What's the most likely position, whether it's trading up, whether it's staying at 31, or does that cause you to change? If they trade up, is there one position you think is obvious that they'd be trading up for?
I don't know that I'd say it's obvious, but I would lean defensive tackle. I think that's their biggest need going into this draft. Like I know there have been a slew of people, highly respected, who have said they're going to, you know, offensive tackle, and you know, Josh Simmons seems to be the pick du jour that everybody and their mother is mocking.
Yeah.
Chiefs, which makes me feel like that's exactly why he wouldn't go there, because otherwise the mock drafts will be right.
Yeah.
I don't know that the Chiefs are taking a tackle on that. And I was on KCSN with Tucker Franklin, and I said that, and it kind of went all over the place on Twitter. I was like, look, I stake my reputation on the fact I don't think they're taking a first-round tackle. I don't. From everything I know about this class, from everything that they've done over the years and the way that they evaluate these guys, I think a tackle, like, I'm not saying, look, is there no world they do it? No, if there's a guy at 31, they just feel like they have to do it.
Sure.
Okay, sure. But if you're looking at this team, they're not worrying about 5 years from now. They're worrying about trying to win the Super Bowl now. And if you're trying to do that, what is the biggest hole on this team? It's the guy next to Chris Jones. And between Walter Nolan and Derek Harmon and Kenneth Grant, I just think if you're the Chiefs, any of those guys make a lot of sense, especially Harmon and especially Nolan, just considering the way they play and how they fit in Spags' defense.
We know what's going to happen with the number one overall pick. It seems all but assured Cam Ward will go to the Tennessee Titans first overall. What do you make of this Giants last-minute meeting in Green Bay to watch Sanders work out? I view it as like either ownership or the GM. Somebody doesn't want to take him, and somebody does. My assumption is usually the owner might just force him into taking a quarterback at three. What the hell's going on there? Why are they last minute trying to decide on Sanders or, in I guess their case, either Travis Hunter or Abdul Carter?
It's weird in the sense that, look, you don't normally see a visit that late. I agree with you. I think it might point to some dissension, maybe wanting to get a little bit more information. Obviously, they signed Russell Wilson and Jameis Winston, but those guys are on one-year deals, and neither one of them in the future. The Sanders thing is very interesting. Albert Breer, my colleague, wrote yesterday that he starts a lot of people think he's going to get to the second round.
Wow.
I can tell you from being down at owners meetings that is not a rare one-off opinion that some guy would have given. Like, there are people in the league that feel that way. I know even myself, I've talked to scouts who have said, I wouldn't take him in the first round. Now, I don't think he ends up getting to the second, but I do think with Sanders, look, the Browns, they're not in league circles. They're not expected to take him. Doesn't mean they couldn't or they won't, but I think there's a thought that Travis Hunter is the favorite, the leader in the clubhouse to go number two. If he gets past the Giants, then you go to the Saints at nine. I think that's probably the next spot you'd look at and go, okay, maybe they take him. The Saints could certainly do it, especially with the Derek Carr news, but there's a lot of people in the league who feel like Jackson Dart is the apple of the Saints' eye. Does that happen? Who knows? I think that's a big overdraft, but it doesn't matter what I think. I'm not in that room. If he gets past nine, the slide is on at that point. I don't know where he goes before Pittsburgh at 21. And does Pittsburgh take him? I mean, he is going to be the story of this draft one way or the other, I believe, because there is an opportunity. He goes two or three. There's an opportunity. We're sitting there at the end of the first round. He's still on the board.
Matt, you mentioned Jackson Dart. Now, is there a chance we see three quarterbacks or more out in the first round, though?
Yeah. I mean, look, like I said, I think Jackson Dart, if you said bet your mortgage, is he a first-round pick? I'd be very uncomfortable making that bet one way or the other, but I think I'd probably lean toward, yeah, maybe a team trading up from the second round to the first round. Like, the Chiefs want to trade back. That might be a spot where a team goes, hey, you know, let's get a fifth-year option on the quarterback. Let's trade up, give some value. Like I said, the Saints are also a team at nine that there are people in the league that will tell you that the Saints are really high on Jaxon Dart. Now, are they so high on him they take him at nine? Or would they be one of these teams that tries to trade back into the first round because they have extra picks for the Marshon Lattimore trade? So maybe they do that. I think in the end there is a chance you get three quarterbacks. And I always have just believed over the years quarterbacks get overdrafted. So if you're leaning one, you know, under, over 2.5, I'd probably just take the over based on the fact that quarterbacks are quarterbacks. They're different than every other position.
Let's talk a little bit about the running back class as it sits. Everyone kind of universally agrees this is about as deep as it gets in that grouping. What's the ideal kind of fit for the Chiefs right now, knowing that Pacheco is still probably going to be the number one back going into the year? What is kind of the ideal fit? Like just home run hitter, fastest guy on the planet? Like what do you want to see the Chiefs do at running back?
I think the Chiefs will love a guy who has the explosiveness. Yeah. I think, you know, I don't know if the guy's going to run a 4.2, but I think the Chiefs want somebody who, look, if he gets out in the open field, it's a fair question if he's going to get caught. They don't have that guy. I mean, obviously Kareem Hunt is not that guy. Pacheco has some speed, but is certainly not a speed guy. He's much more of a physical downhill, lower his pads type of back. This class is loaded, as you said. Ashton Jeanty, the Chiefs aren't getting anywhere near unless a miracle happens. But beyond that, like Omarion Hampton is probably the second guy off the board out of UNC. He reminds me a lot of Jonathan Taylor when I watch him. You know, did he get to 31? If he does, I think the Chiefs would take him. I think the Chiefs, if he somehow is at 31, or at least at the bare minimum, would have a very, very long conversation in that war room about whether to take him. After him, you get into Travion Henderson and Quishon Judkins out of Ohio State. You get into R.J. Harvey out of UCF. Those are guys who I expect to be, you know, second-round picks. Harvey's probably right on that turn from second to third round. Caleb Johnson out of Iowa is another guy. Neal out of Kansas is a guy who's, I think, a third-round pick that could be there for sure when the Chiefs pick in either one of those third-round spots. So, you know, that's if I'm Kansas City, I'm looking for a guy who is like, listen, I don't care if you can pick up third and one. We have Kareem Hunt. I need a guy who can hit a hole on second and seven, and maybe it's only blocked up for 4 yards, but you make a guy miss and run for 20. They've not had a back like that since Jamal Charles, and that's something I think they are looking for.
We're talking to Matt Verderam from Sports Illustrated. Away from the draft, but I guess it could impact how they draft, is what are you hearing? What's the latest on Trey Smith's potential long-term deal? We know he signed that franchise tag. They have a deadline of mid-July, to get a deal done.
Look, I mean, no news, really, other than just to say when the tag happened, I remember speaking to some people around that situation, and the thought was, look, this will get dealt with in early summer. That's when this will get dealt with. Like, there's no real rush. Late spring, early summer was kind of the thought process, which is pretty difficult when a guy gets tagged. I know, you know, Higgins was different. Like, he was kind of like a package deal with Chase, and the Bengals paid him out, and that's fine. But, you know, when you look at the Chiefs' history, most of these contracts with the tag get paid out, you know, late June, early July. As far as what he gets, I think he's probably – like, he's going to be the highest paid guard in NFL history. I think that's coming. Like, he's 24 a year, something like that. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if it's 5 and 120, or, you know, maybe it's a 4 and 100 if they want to go a little shorter term. But I think by the end of it, he's probably going to get the most guaranteed money ever for a guard. He's probably going to get the highest annual value for a guard. And he deserves it. And, you know, they're going to have him and Humphrey next to each other, who both, if that happens, will reset the market at their respective positions.
You don't think, though, that it's – you expect it to still get done. We were saying, hey, there's some mocks that have him taking a guard very high. I'm like, they take a guard in the first round, it tells me they're worried about it. Or I guess they have no faith in Kingsley.
No, listen, so that's where I totally understand when you're doing a mock draft, you're doing 32 teams. And it's hard to be, like, super dialed in on every single team. But – I'd be very surprised if they took an offensive tackle. Like, I really just don't see it happening in the first round. I would be need to be peeled off the floor if they took a guard in the first round. Yeah. They fully expect to sign Smith from everything I understand. And with Kingsley, they believe, based on what they saw in the game against Denver, based on what they saw in some practices, like, they believe that he's going to step in there and be a pretty good guard. And obviously, listen, let's be real with the Chiefs. If the left side of that offensive line is good, they're right back to being a Super Bowl favorite, if not even the clear favorite, along with, you know, a team like a Philly or Detroit. If that left side doesn't work out, that is probably why we'll be sitting here in mid-January going, man, they finally didn't get back to the Super Bowl. Well, that's why. Because the rest of the team is pretty stacked again.
Matt Verderam, staff writer for SI Now, Matt Verderam Show on Patreon as well. Give him a follow on X at Matt Verderam. Always appreciate the insight, man. Enjoy the draft in a week or so.
Hey, take care, guys.
There you go. Good stuff from Matt Verderam on just kind of how he sees the first round.
The same way about guard. He's with us on that. Like, I don't know, man. I don't see how you see this.
He's with us on that. And that, I think he's right. That is more of the, look, not everybody's going to know the specific details of every single team, the nitty gritty. And so when you see these mock drafts, or I saw someone on our Odyssey's betting network, BetMGM, was saying, hey, you know, I really like this bet at minus 110 on, you know, the Chiefs to take an offensive lineman in the first round. And maybe it's a tackle, I guess. But like, if you think that answer is a guard, like the reasoning somebody gave was, oh, they need a guard. No, they don't. They either go with Kingsley or they can draft
Caliendo
one much later.
Or they take one later and they start him and they put him in an open competition.
Yeah, I just don't. Hell, even Norzad would compete. You know, I just don't see it.
Yeah, I think it's like an open competition between Kingsley, Caliendo, a sixth round pick, and maybe Norzad. But like, to pretend that they don't have options to choose from, Caliendo started at left guard in the Super Bowl for them. I'm not saying it went great, but he also started the AFC title game, the divisional round, the last couple of games of the regular season. They're not so afraid of him that they won't let him play in some important games. Now, all of a sudden, he has no chance to do it. Guard makes no sense to me. Guard in the first three rounds would borderline piss me off. Like, it doesn't make sense to do it. You got those four premium picks. Don't waste them on guard. You just made Trey Smith the highest paid guard. Right now, he's already the highest paid guard in NFL and by average annual per year. You might make him the highest paid guard in the NFL. You have one of the highest paid right tackles. You have a high priced left tackle now. You have the most expensive center. So now what? Now we're spending premium picks on left guard? I don't think so. I think this is the one that you not cheap out on to the point that you think it's going to fail, but you don't throw the biggest resource or one of the biggest resources you have available to you at it. Doesn't make any sense to me. Like you said, don't forget about a draft party, though. Correctly predict. $965 for the landing in Liberty.
It's going to be a packed house. Always is. Always is. Get there early. I'll be honest. Like if you show it up after the draft starts, whatever, it's going to be hard to find a
dicey
table. Yeah. You want to make sure you plan it out. Get your buddies, head out there. Everybody from the station's going to be there. Everybody.
Even the part-timers?
Some, I'm sure.
Okay.
Some
usually.
Yeah. Drew's going to be there. Cody's going to
be
there.
I will be there.
Chris, obviously. Everybody. C-Dot, Rob, you name it.
They'll be coming straight from their show, probably.
Yes.
Are you going to get there early? I think it's a day game that day. So you're going
to. It is a day game.
You're going to jump
there early enough
to
get a parking. I'll get there early enough to get a parking spot. I've learned my lesson.
That was almost the problem for me last year. Is we already had a table set up, but I pulled in and I had to park across the street. I couldn't even. There were no
spots available.
Packed
house, man. Everybody's ready for the draft. Everybody's fired up.
Event.
Everybody was fired up.
It was good.
Meanwhile, pack house at the Kansas City Sports Commission yesterday. I don't know if you guys heard this. Before the show, I had managed to see they put out a PSA trying to make it clear that the KC Sports Commission, along with some civic leaders in the Kansas City area, really want to keep the Chiefs and the Royals.
Greater Kansas City's business and civic organizations are united in a singular mission to ensure the Chiefs and Royals remain in our region for decades to come. But time is not on our side.
Which is why we urge our state and local leaders across the region and both teams to work together to create solutions that offer viable options for growth and success into the future.
While both teams are working hard to evaluate their future in KC, other markets are actively competing to lure them away.
To keep these cherished franchises in KC, we need strong, realistic, public-private partnerships that make staying home in our region the only choice.
Sports are vital to Kansas City's identity and history. It's in our DNA. The Royals and Chiefs are key to our region's economic vitality and visibility across the nation and the world.
Now is the time for our KC region to rally.
To protect the championship legacy we've built together.
To secure our region's future as a premier sports destination.
Let's keep the KC region major league for today and for generations to come.
Okay, so that's the slogan they're going with. Let's keep the KC region major league. Now, they kept saying region in a weird way where, like, I don't think being on the Johnson County side would be all that different regionally as far as, like,
yeah,
people's viewage of the...
Yeah.
Yeah, but they're talking about keeping them in Kansas City, specifically around Kansas City. This feels like a last second push to try to get them to commit to you. I think what's happened here, and asking around a little and getting a sense of this stuff, I kind of feel like the teams have just stopped talking to the city and they don't know what to make of it. They don't know if that means, are they close to a deal with Kansas? Are they close to a deal with us? And why isn't anybody telling us anything? Because it seems kind of dark right now. And they said early summer, it's pretty fast approaching, seeing how it's April 15th. Well,
John Sherman was on this station with us on opening day, and he said June, July is when they would like to announce their plans, wherever that may be, whether it's staying in Missouri, whether it's going obviously across the state line to Kansas. We know the Missouri legislature has a bill pending, and the legislature wraps up its session, I believe, in mid-May, so we're about a month out of that. But they have a bill pending that would allow them to have some of the same access to funds as something that could compete with the star bonds on the Kansas side. We know the star bonds on the Kansas side expire this summer, although they could be extended, but they expire in June or July. So that's kind of where, you know, you think about timelines where we're at. You know, I know we've said this before, and they have said it before, that this is a date, and then things get moved back. It's been over a year since, obviously, the failed vote and everything like that. I guess if you're asking for the timeline, it sure seems like mid-June to end of July is kind of the ballpark, to no pun intended, to keep an eye on where the ballpark and where some of these sites are going to be for both teams.
I guess what's the hope of this? That they'll start the conversation with you sooner? Because, like, if you're Kansas City, you know what they want? I'll just help you. I'll just make this real easy. Money. They want more money. They want a guarantee of money, not blanket promises like we saw Q give. What was that, like 2 months ago when he was like, I think personally, in my own personal feelings, think we got like $5 billion trillion to give him. Remember, he just gave like a number that seemed like it wasn't based in funding they had currently settled, but instead funding he believes they could hypothetically unlock in order to give these teams. If they want to move faster, they should be sending this video to the Missouri legislators. Get some funding unlocked so that you can do this. I still feel like the most likely, and I'm guessing you do too, is 1-1. Yep. You still think the most likely scenario, one Missouri,
split
one Kansas?
Up. Split it up.
Yeah. I actually don't hate that from a, like, the
Why
thing
put
we
it
talked
all
about.
On one county?
Well, like you and I both agree that in a utopian society, I would prefer, and I don't think, citizens should pay for these stadiums. All right, so we've established that. We've talked about that a bunch of times. But in a world in which they still do, and that's the world we actively live in, at least at the moment, the burden of spreading the money on either side, both sides of the state line, doesn't seem all that bad to me.
All right, let's get to it.
Trash of the day. I wasn't sure. I should have looked at Drew.
Another half second.
Damn.
He was looking down.
I didn't know.
I'm podcasting.
You're good.
Stuff.
A story from over the weekend in Springfield, where we're going to be going.
Wow. Okay.
In a couple weeks.
Is it a happy story?
Neither.
Okay.
A Missouri man crashed his truck into a come and go front window. He claimed his Crocs got caught on the pedal, causing him to accelerate into the business. Cops say security footage showed this gentleman named Dale, 60 years old, slamming his 2012 Dodge Ram
60 rockin' Crocs
into
huh?
the convenience okay. store on a Thursday evening. He immediately backed up and left the scene without providing any information. The crash resulted in damages of $3,700 to the Springfield Come and Go, which is about a half mile from where this gentleman lived. In the immediate aftermath of the crash, the story says, this is from the Smoking Gun. It says, Hammett twice returned to the store driving the same truck and entered the business, where he spoke with an employee and never claimed to be the driver. They even looked at the security footage of the original incident with the worker. When a cop arrived on scene, he denied being the driver and his truck being the one involved. However, security video linked him and the vehicle to the crash. If convicted, he faces between 1 and 4 years in custody, as well as a maximum fine of $10,000.
Okay, you don't have to put the guy in jail for a year.
The issue is he left, I think, is the bigger problem.
Yeah, don't leave the scene of a crime. Generally speaking, that's kind of a an accident.
I laughed when I saw this story.
Scene of a crime, leave that.
I laughed when I saw this story because I found out within the last like 2 weeks that, I guess, I didn't know this. My mom was telling me that when she was 18 years old, she drove through the front window of a 7-Eleven.
What?
As an 18-year-old.
At 18? Oh, my God.
Now, she did not leave the scene. She did not get a ticket or anything. Her insurance, I know.
I'm sorry, how do you not get a ticket?
I know, that's what I said,
Cody.
Front
of a 7-Eleven.
That's what I said. She didn't get a ticket. I was like, what? Obviously, insurance had to pay for it, but yeah. I don't know. I was like, how did this happen? So yeah, she went through the front front window of a 7-Eleven. I'm like, man, what I would give to have the video of that from, you know, 30, 40, or 50 years ago.
What are the odds that you ever wear a pair of Crocs in your life?
I've never worn any, so why would I now?
I guess what's the odds you pick it up?
5 or 10%
chance. It's a very popular piece of footwear.
5 or 10% chance. I've never worn
it
before.
Drew, do you want a pair of Crocs? I don't. My kids do.
My wife has multiple pairs. She loves Crocs. I don't care for Crocs. I don't have a pair. I used to have a pair, but I don't feel one way or another.
Okay, so you've had
them. I'm more of a slides guy, yeah, than a Crocs person, but yeah.
Slide with socks. You're probably of that age, right?
Man, when I was a kid, Drew comes in with the slide with the Crocs, the gym shorts, and the retro t-shirt look all the time in the building.
I'd have been
all the time
crucified as a teenager if I had dared to worn slides with socks. Eviscerated by my peers.
Oh, okay.
It was the opposite. Everyone wore ankle socks. Nobody wore socks with sandals. That was a total no.
Yeah,
that was like you were a suburb dad. That was like a whole like. They just like that. What like and when I was in high school, you would have been eviscerated for that.
Thanks to the Fab Five for opening things up. You know, with the long black socks and the long, you know, the Nike socks and everything. Oh yeah.
I wonder how long that's gonna last though. Like, you know, this how this works.
It's an age thing too, though. Like, it's an age thing too. Like, if Drew, when he's 40 years old, is just going to work with tall black socks and Crocs, that's gonna be a weird look.
I'll just say because of like, you know, this works because of the way you are as a kid. I could like I know that that's a popular style and nobody would say anything. I can't do it. I can't convince myself it is socially acceptable to wear wear socks with sandals. I can't do it. It's just like I can't get over the hurdle that is like all of childhood telling me this is the opposite of what you should be doing.
Yeah.
Your text line says flip-flops are also dangerous to drive. And as a cop, I've worked several accidents where they got stuck in the pedal.
I like to take my flip-flop. If I'm wearing a flip-flop, I'll barefoot while I drive.
Barefoot. That's awful.
And then I'll just put them back on when I get out of the car.
I can't do that. I hate that. It's an awful feeling.
I use cruise control
feel like that's even more dangerous than the
that's not more dangerous than the flip-flop getting stuck under the pedal.
Yeah, I can't. The driving them barefoot thing, I can't do it. Don't have a good feel of the pedal.
I don't mind at all. If I'm on a long road trip, I like wearing shoes that can be removable and put back on.
Wait, so on a road trip, you'll just take your shoes off and just drive with socks on?
I just won't. Well, I try to wear something without socks,
really?
Right?
Really?
Yeah. Socks, even if you're just socks, like that's you said, no good. I'm not just driving socks. Just socks, that's crazy. Yeah,
you're on a road trip. If it's on cruise, then you can have your feet relaxed anyway a little bit.
Yeah, but I don't want my feet constricted in these shoes
for 6 hours.
Well,
don't wear the tightest shoes ever. I mean, you can have those shoes loosened up a little bit. That's the trash of the day. Up next, we'll get to the Chiefs Red Half Hour, the decision the Chiefs have at their first pick at 31, and I'm guessing we will check in on one of our three rounders that are out there now with the Mock Draft Sounder. Next.
Welcome in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Every day at 11:30 with Cody and Gold on your new home for
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth-shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Chiefs football. 96.5. The Fan.
That's right, it is the Chiefs Red Half Hour here on Cody and Gold. Thanks for hanging out, as always. You guys can watch the show on Facebook, Twitch, YouTube, Twitter, X. Make sure you subscribe, that way you don't miss any of the shows here on 96.5 The Fan.
You guys all file your taxes?
Long time ago.
It's tax day! Like 2 months ago.
This is how you know.
Two months ago? I don't know. February?
Yeah,
I do mine very quickly.
Yeah, I do mine pretty quickly. Mine were wrapped up before middle of February. Yeah, I usually don't wait.
And as soon as
everybody
I get the
has different. Everybody has different reasons. Like, especially if you know you're getting money back, if people are filing that thing early. But today is tax day. That's right.
I just didn't know. Didn't know if everyone in this who's the most likely to file today
in the building?
Uh huh. Let's say 96.5.
Yeah.
Let's not.
For our station, let me ask you that. Do you think everybody has filed?
God, I hope so.
I would think so, yes.
We're calling people dodging the taxes?
Well, the deadline's today, as in they could still get it done.
Do we all file our own, or do you guys use
go online and do it.
I file my own.
Do you file your own?
I mean, yes, I file my own. I use...
Well, yeah, everyone has to use a service. I mean, okay. I don't go to the library and get the forms and
I do
hand fill them out. That's crazy.
I do file it on my own.
I do my own. I do my parents' taxes as well. But, yeah, I've been doing that for a while.
I don't know anybody else's taxes but my own. Like, I'm not trying to...
Just remember, I'll tell you this, though, warning. Those of you that do bet on sports, make sure you got your ducks in a row. Just say, if you won some money this past year, make sure you got your ducks in a row.
Yeah, that's smart. I mean, they'll send you the form.
Through the apps in particular.
They will.
Some of those apps will automatically trigger. Otherwise, you still have to technically, report.
Supposed to go look for that.
Go seek a tax professional for tax advice.
From the 913, someone said Jay Binkley seems like the person who would wait the longest.
No, I actually think
I think Binkley
he gets it done quick.
I think Jay stays on top of it. Trying to think. Fesco seems too organized.
The answer
is probably Carrington.
I was going to say Carrington.
We're all thinking it. He's staring through the window. We're all thinking it.
Yeah. I think he's filed before, but I want to make it clear. I do think he is already filed.
I think everybody's filed. Yes. I think everybody has.
Oh, man. Someone says, I took your betting advice. I owe $20,000 in taxes. Well, that means you won a lot of money if that's the case. Good for you.
On crazy. Twitch, somebody's like, what, you think Dusty pays taxes? Come on. I'm assuming Dusty. Now, look, I think anybody who worked in the service industry never.
Oh, and tips. Yeah, that's different.
Never claimed the amount of tips that you could have claimed.
Yes, I understand that.
I'm just telling you right now, there's a lot of skirting of the rules in that scenario. And I wouldn't blame Dusty for that. I certainly would never.
We don't advocate tax evasion on this show. That's for sure.
No, I've always paid my taxes.
Never
that's true. I actually have always paid my taxes.
Yeah. But I would hope. Yeah. I would hope.
Some people don't pay them.
Congratulations.
Some people don't pay them. I mean, I take it back. Uh-oh. Just as long as, 10 years? We're safe? I told you when I was a teenager, they paid me $10 an hour cash. I never filled out a single W-2.
I think you're good. Yeah.
$10 an hour cash for 4 straight years, and I worked 45 hours a week. I didn't pay a nickel. Taxes during that time, I don't think so. Just don't come find me for that. Yeah.
Audits don't go back more than like 6-7 years usually.
So. Great. Perfect.
So you're in the
They're not going to audit me from when I was 16 years old.
I think you're good, man.
24 years ago.
For the record, Rob says Dusty, he thinks would be.
Dusty.
You wouldn't ask Rob.
I know.
He's not going to say his guy.
Well, no, I did say. I said the consensus is Dusty or Carrington. He goes, yeah, those are probably the two that people think of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's about right. I bet you Dusty got his done right away.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like Dusty. He seems like a person who would love to be like, he feels like he's got some of the energy. Like he wouldn't mind settling into just being like, what we joke about being like a suburban dad, take care of his lawn.
Oh, yeah.
He loves grilling. I kind of feel like he's got like the green visor hat and like the big giant button tax machine just cranking the thing down. I feel like he'd actually kind of enjoy it.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Gold also enjoys it. He's openly said he kind of likes doing the taxes.
Yeah.
So
I
don't mind doing it. It's easy.
I don't like it. I'll do it. But I don't mind doing it. No pleasure.
I don't mind doing it. It's so easy now too. I mean, it's like honestly, even now, like after a while, when you do it, depending on your tax situation, like it doesn't take that long to do. For others, it can. No.
Someone just said, let's hear some more possibly incriminating things.
Yeah, what else? What else?
I'm going to limit the number of crimes I admit to on the air today. Mm-hmm. I'll save that for other times. Like, you know, we're already being warned not to admit to crimes on 420, you know? I got to make sure that
we got a warning email today about, things we can and cannot do on April 20th.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, Drew. You can't smoke in the studio, man. Sorry.
Be cool, man. We work for a company. It's still federally illegal.
I've never smoked in my
life. Even though
you
could just go to Missouri.
He says, believe it or not.
That's true.
With the hat you're wearing, people aren't so sure.
Yeah, I probably wouldn't have believed it.
I know this.
I would have just assumed you had. I apologize.
palm leaves, okay? It's palm leaves. It's not
From far away, it doesn't look like palm leaves, so I'll just say that.
Uh-huh. Before we get to another mock draft sounder, which I'm sure we'll do here in a moment, I think that this draft is really important for kind of deciding how you go about this draft, as in I think you should take one path, the left or the right. The left being, let's keep this party going. Let's get players that help us team immediately. Let's get a defensive lineman in the first round, a tackle that helps us immediately. Let's take a running back in the third round, helps us immediately. Let's take those positions of need, corner, immediately, where you can help those guys now that get playing time right away. They're not the developmental player that we're stashing down the road. Or you take the right path, which is you take a tackle in the first round and you end up taking a defensive edge player who can't get out past Karloftis and Aminihu now, but will eventually and will get those. I know they'll get some rotation, but you take them later. They're more of a developmental guy, or you just take the developmental guy similar to that of FAU. I think you kind of have to decide. I would prefer they choose keep the party going. I know the long-term part of this thing is important and the roster is going to look a lot different in a year from now. But I think there's value in, and there's nothing that indicates that they can't just keep going to Super Bowls today. And I feel like you rob yourself by being like, let's just take a bunch of developmental guys and see where it gets us.
While Matt Verderam mentioned this as well, this is a starter type of draft, not as star studded. It's just about getting three or four starters out of this draft, things like that. I still think it's a combination of both. I don't think the theme of the entire draft has to be, we're taking all guys that are only helping us in 2026 and beyond and not helping in 2025. I don't think that's how it goes. Now there's some positions we go position by position that naturally are going to be more long-term picks than the immediate.
Yeah.
You know, like if they did take an offensive tackle in the first round or any round, frankly, that's probably more of a 2026 and beyond pick. Doesn't mean it's a bad pick, but it's 2026 and beyond. They take a running back, that can be an immediate and a long-term pick. They take a wide receiver, probably a bit more of a long-term pick. You know, they draft a corner, probably a little bit more of a long-term pick. Defensive tackle, immediate and long-term. Edge, immediate and long-term. And that's kind of how I'm viewing it. So it's not so much that if they draft one guy that's more of a future pick, it means all their other picks have to be about that. I think that'll be dictated by the positions they draft. And that'll be ultimately how we can view the, you know, every draft does have a theme, but I think the positions will tell us that. There's some positions that just by nature in the way that it's set up will automatically be viewed more as the long-term pick.
Yeah, depending on where they're taken, I guess. Like running back, you're right. Taken in the third round, it is kind of the middle, right? They will likely get some snaps now, but if you take them in the third round, they're still clearly behind Pacheco probably and Kareem Hunt, barring some sort of injury. If they take them in the first round, Gold, we're talking about win now. We are in. That man's playing. And I understand, like, it depends on the position. And defensive line is easily going to be the toughest one to diagnose. They take a defensive lineman at 31. It is solely dependent on the player, not the position. It is not the position. The position is both now and later. They need both. They need defensive linemen for the future, and they need him for now. But the player will dictate which way they have chosen their path. Because you and I both know that there are players every year that they're like, we love the talent. If I start hearing those words, I know that this is a player that they're not planning on getting on the football field right away. They didn't say that about Karlaftis. They said, high motor guy, will be productive now. Ceiling might be limited, but that man plays. And he played immediately for the team.
Once week versus seven, or week eight hit is when he, in his rookie year, is when all of a sudden the switch flipped for him and he turned it on. And obviously the kind of the rest is history with what George Karlaftis has turned out to be already in his career. So, yeah, I just think the you say player, and I agree. I think the position too will automatic, like running back, whether it's a first rounder or a fourth rounder, to me has a chance to be both immediate and long term, because if we both agree that Pacheco is still the number one back, no matter where they draft the running back, I feel that guy is going to clearly get some split.
I guess the question is how much. The later they go, the less likely I think he is to get more than five touches a game.
But if they draft the running back, that guy's playing this year.
Some, yes.
You know.
And maybe they just fully send Kareem Hunt to the you're the third down back, welcome Samaje Perine role, and you just like
somebody's getting
a little bit.
Somebody's getting cut or traded in camp. Like
Steel.
You know, Pacheco's not, he's on the team, but Pacheco, Hunt, Elijah Mitchell, this rookie, you know,
Elijah
Kareem
Mitchell,
Hunt.
I forgot
you
go,
you go
Mitchell
through, and Steel.
So, yeah, I like,
forgot
Steel.
All about
somebody
it.
Somebody's obviously not making the team.
Steel's going to the practice squad.
Somebody's not making the team. So we'll that's a training camp convo, but
let's all find out which way they're going.
All right, here we go. 9 days away.
All right, so we're going to do a three-rounder. This, I believe, is actually Mel Kiper's final mock. For whatever reason,
His final
mock came out yesterday.
Wait, I thought his final mock.
Okay.
Oh, it's because it's not, I see. It's not just his mock.
It's not just Mel Kiper. It's him and Field Yates combining together. They're alternating picks in this mock draft.
Okay.
It is a three-rounder. No trade up for the Chiefs at 31. No trade down. They're... Field Yates is the one who made this pick, by the way.
Right.
At 31, he has him taking Josh Connerly Jr., offensive tackle from Oregon.
Well, there's a name I've heard.
His description would be, or his the first sentence, what a coup this would be for Kansas City.
Coup?
C-O-U-P. As
yeah,
in,
no, I know what you meant, but I was like, I'm just trying to figure out.
I just want to make sure, Cody.
I'm just, in what way is this a coup? Who are they? I don't know. Like,
well,
militarizing
that
against
might,
to
the,
get
the
a coup against more.
The thought.
Who's this a coup against?
The rest of the league because they passed on him.
The thought would be that he's probably not there at 31, and if he's there at 31, it seems like a hell of a pick.
That's, I don't think coup is the word he should have gone with. That's all.
No, you've heard that phrase before, in this context, haven't you?
For a draft.
No, but like it's quite a like you know, if that team quite a cue.
Steel, maybe. I don't feel like
people have used it in this context. You've heard
it. They should stop using it. It doesn't make sense. I think they just like the word coup.
So his reasoning is he was outstanding last year at Oregon, only allowed one sack all season. He's always in control and dependable. Obviously something that sounds nice when protecting
seventh
Patrick
most
Mahomes.
Athletic offensive tackle on the draft according to the next gen stat athleticism score that they use.
Okay.
Lance
they got in the second round.
Throws a sudden punch with good pop.
Mm. People seem to like him, but he is definitely in the camp of people think he might end up as a guard or a right tackle or not. You know, like there are a lot of people who are not convinced Connerly Jr. is going to end up as a starting left tackle.
That's anything that we've seen, but not as much as, you know, Simmons or even Ursary.
Yeah.
Another name that we've had once or twice, haven't spent much time talking about him, is Landon Jackson, edge rusher from Arkansas. That's who Field Yates making the pick again in this mock. Has going
round
to the
two,
Chiefs at 63. So he references the Chiefs tying for 18th in sacks last year. Always in the business of adding pass rushers, of course. He's got terrific length and plays with one of the best motors in the class.
There it is. Got to get the motor mentioned.
Ooh, I do like a guy with a high motor.
Got to get
a few picks later. This is a new name. Mel Kiper picks this one in the third round. Of course, two picks for the Chiefs at 66. Harold Fannin Jr.
Oh, we've heard
from
that,
Bowling Green. Tight end / H-back is what he's got him listed as. He led the nation in receiving last year, over 1,500 yards. Could utilize him in a multitude of different ways as part of the
intrigue like of taking him.
That's Bink's guy too. I think that's one of, one of the guys.
Man, Bink and I are really in line this year.
I think at one point Bink liked him.
The interesting thing about him is he's a little bit undersized for being a tight end in college. At least he was, and his 40 speed wasn't that of one you'd like from a guy that is smaller in size. In terms of lighter weight.
And look, in the third round, I'm not going to be upset about a tight end pick. I don't think they need to do it in the first round, but I'm not going to be mad about it in the third round. Going back to Landon Jackson, that is a different name. You're right. We haven't heard the second round pick in this mock.
So it's 66.
The few notes on him from Lance Erdline, he said, puts blockers at the end of his reach when he lands first. Too tight hipped to dip corner. Yeah. Quote from a national scout in the NFC. He's tough, but I don't see enough contact bounce to play down an odd front. Let him be a big, even front based end. He's got a chance to become a good starter, but it will not happen early on.
I was going
to
say, it sounds like he's more of a just a bull rusher. Like he's strong.
6'6".
He's a big
264.
Boy. Tall.
Yeah, 6'6". Landon Jackson at Arkansas. Started his career at LSU, looks like.
So again, at 66, Harold Fannin, and then the third round pick later on. This is a new name.
Yeah, I mean, that definitely is slightly different than they've done. No running back yet, so I assume that maybe that would come in the fourth round. Texan, by the way, pointing out maybe they mean coup de grace, which means death blow. Maybe they are going that versus coup d'etat, which is what I was going with, like an overthrowing of the government.
Yeah, the Chiefs are not overthrowing anything.
Coup de grace, they're death blowing their competition. I just feel like you got to put coup de grace if that's what you're going with.
That's quite a coup.
The final third round pick for the Chiefs, Field Yates making this one.
Oh, sorry.
Dylan Fairchild, guard out of Georgia. They say he's pro ready.
Guard in the third? I just don't. Why are we wasting third round picks on guard? Not wasting, but like it just. I want it like fourth round or later. No earlier than that. Those first four picks need to be.
I think his reasoning is he played premium. He played left guard in college, pro ready, 5 pressures and 0 sacks over his whole career.
They don't want to probably just hand the job to Kingsley. They want to have some competition.
I mean, also, it sounds nice for a guy that played 36 college or 35 college career games and didn't allow a single sack. I mean, that sounds nice. I would assume. And he's also born in the position. He's born, bred, played the position his entire college career at guard. So he's not that Kingsley can't transition, of course, but he's played it in the SEC against the best competition, against guys like Landon Jackson and all the others from A&M who are going to go in the first round, or Walter Nolan. So it's appealing.
Yeah, and this might be because I'm in Kansas City and maybe we just view it. I think we clearly view it differently than the national publications. I just think their left guard is Kingsley. Like, I don't think they have a question about who their starting left guard is. I think their starting left guard is Kingsley Suamataia. And maybe that's just blindly gold because, like, we've heard Veach say they like the way he looks at guard, or because this is a very standard transition for a player who fails at tackle to go play guard. It's like starting pitchers becoming relievers. It is like the next logical transition for a high pick tackle to eventually go to guard. It's an easier position to be successful at. All the other normal stuff. I'm just convinced their guard is Kingsley. I don't know. You do too, I think.
Yeah, I think that'll be the plan.
I mean, let's
Norzad, Caliendo, Kingsley.
I mean, if they do take one though in the third round, that means they're getting rid of. Are they getting rid of?
I just think he's in an open competition with Caliendo.
Of Caliendo, or
no? They'll keep Caliendo. He's a swing guard. They'll just put Kingsley and those two guys. They'll keep one extra offensive lineman, which they do sometimes, and they'll pit Kingsley against Kingsley and the third round guard against each other for the spot. Caliendo, I think they view as a backup. I don't think that they're like gung-ho on him being the starter.
The only way that I can think that it makes sense, and I don't know if this is just you're almost drafting, you're not drafting scared in a way, but let's say that it's Kingsley at guard, and he stinks again, and you got Caliendo, you're running into the exact same problem that you ran into last year in a different set of circumstances.
But guard, not tackle, so I feel way better about it.
But
you know?
You're still concerned about there's a lot of unknowns, sure. Technically, with Jalen Moore as well. Like,
you'd rather have more unknown,
unknown again.
Yeah, I think Cody's just saying that. If they feel like Jalen Moore is the starting left tackle, and in your hypothetical, you're saying like it's 4 weeks in, he's playing fine, but Kingsley's awful.
I'm saying you won't notice.
He's saying that like it'd be easier to replace Kingsley midseason than trying to replace a guard or a tackle again. I think that's probably all he was. But I hear you. Like right now, Jalen Moore is a question mark. We don't know. You're right. But in the hypothetical of it's a month in the season, he's playing fine, and it's the guard that has an issue. That's an easier one.
The only explanation I could see for them picking guard is, you know what? We are gonna make for damn sure that we have somebody who can play that guard position, and we're not going to have any problems.
are Arkansas fans, both on the text line and over on Twitch, saying look, as your University of Arkansas soars, great pick, 10-year pro.
Oh, Landon Jackson.
On Landon
They're
Jackson.
Saying Landon Jackson be quite the coup.
That's right.
On who?
All other 31 teams that didn't draft him, I guess the two Chiefs technically as well, if they pick him in the second round, they all passed on.
Yeah, see, someone says, is it an unexpected result used all the time? And that's what I'm saying. We've seen it and heard it in sports reference all the time.
I do think it was funny, speaking of the you all passed on me thing, Will Howard recently came out and said, teams are going to regret passing on me who don't draft me.
Classic. Got to get that one out if you're going to be like a third round pick. Yeah. Or Randy Moss.
And I'm going to be more motivated than ever. I mean, it's going to fuel me. It's going to fuel me.
I mean, you got to say it, because if you're right, then you get to, like, you know, own it the entire time.
Sure.
Like, Randy Moss told teams that, and they probably regretted it. But I'm sure that there's a lot of other guys you've never heard of that also told teams they'd regret it.
Oh, yeah.
And nobody does.
They're going to regret on passing me.
It's like, bro, you're picked in the fifth round. Come on now.
This now is going to become a show moment. We get texts on all the time. Coup de grace. We're going to get all the time.
So many different coups. So many possibilities.
Which one's your favorite one?
What's my favorite? Do you have a favorite? Birds. I like the way a bird coos. That's probably my top one.
Your favorite.
Right. You know,
it is a draft particular phrase.
No, I think it's just in sports. Like, that was even if they hired a head coach, like in college football, hired a young coach,
yeah.
And like 2 years in, you're like, wow, that turned out to be quite a coup. You not heard that phrase?
Not in this context.
Really? You haven't?
You know what I'm talking about, Drew. You've heard it.
100%. Especially around the draft. It always happens.
This is not.
Trace
this
Smith,
is new to me.
Like Drake the hiring Chiefs, their head coach in basketball this past year, that would be like, wow, that's quite a coup. They got him from North. But it turned out to
Chiefs
be quite a
coup. Getting Trace Smith in the sixth round was a coup, even though we know
no
there
one
was
said
some
that.
Reason.
You guys can say.
Oh, I can't wait for Friday after the draft,
the
man.
Eagles,
I can't wait.
Jalen Carter at 9 was a coup.
No one said that when that happened. So I'm saying
I don't know, man. I don't know.
You guys are just saying.
I don't know.
Someone said Cougars are their favorites.
Someone said Coupe de Ville. That's with an E at the end.
All right. Up next, we'll get to what's trending, back into what the date might be where you're all in or out when it comes to the Royals offense.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on sports networks. Availability varies by zip code and package. New customers. Service renews monthly unless you cancel. Choice package required. Restrictions apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health.
At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBnetwork.com/stream. Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
What's next?
College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.